Chapter 19 of Revelation is a goddamn horror movie. It's a horror movie. I'm sorry to have to say it that way. I'm sorry to have to start the show this way, but I just read through this whole chapter again, and it's a nightmare. Even the good stuff is a nightmare. And why anybody would want to be in on this, even on the good side of this, I have no idea. No idea. It's about pummeling your enemies. It's about being satisfied by the enemies of God being gobbled up and eaten up and spit out. And I know that there's restoration at the end of everything. I know that. I understand that. And even I can't stand this. And I understand the salvation of all. And I understand that death and gore and retribution and all these things from God, I know that it's all temporary and it moves through into a better place. But frickin', I'm in the better place already. And I'm not talking about Fort Lauderdale, although it's nice. No, I'm talking about Paul's gospel of grace and peace, where we know that God is conciliated to the world. And even while this judgment of God's enemies that come up against Israel is heinous and hideous, God's still conciliated to the world because it's part of the discipline. What, this is the only way I can handle this crap. I mean stuff. I mean Word of God. Sorry. Is that it shows us how absolutely horrible things are today. And it explains the agony we're all in, the suffering we're all undergoing, the fact that it takes this to compensate for it. This horror I'm about to read you in chapter 11. Speaking of horror, okay, here's something about me. I hate horror movies. I hate scary movies. I don't want to see spooky things. I don't want to see people coming around the corner going boo with a knife and stabbing people repeatedly. Alfred Hitchcock, Psycho, fantastic, great job. A woman gets stabbed in the shower. Don't want to see it, okay? I like to see people taking showers and getting clean and washing their hair and having a good time and turning on the hot water and getting comforted, not effing stabbed repeatedly, okay? Sorry, Alfred Hitchcock. People who like to watch that stuff, you have problems. You people have literal problems. I'm sorry. I think that maybe your lives are so miserable that it makes you happy to see other people miserable. Well, it does not make me happy to see other people miserable. So I read the unveiling of Jesus Christ, chapter 11, or 19, and I say, what the hell? And so it forces me to start the show using the word goddamn, which again, I warned you several weeks ago I was going to do this. Not that I planned to do it, but I thought it's possible that I'm going to say this to describe something in this book, eventually, even in the home stretch, but here I thought I was looking forward to getting to chapter 19. I guess I forgot. I guess I forgot. You know, I just want to go to Oz with Judy, with the Munchkins. The worst evil that happened there was Dorothy's house fell on the Wicked Witch of the East, and she was crushed except for her little stocking leg that was sticking out. That was scary enough when I was a kid. But this, all right, I got to start reading it because you think I'm crazy here. You think I'm crazy for starting a show this way. But listen, I'm not. I have a strong reaction to this stuff. This is not my gospel. This is not your gospel. This is going to satisfy Israelites. Look at this. It's the great dinner, the great feast where God feasts upon his enemies. I want my enemies to be healed. I was walking through the cemetery here, Fort Lauderdale Park here. It's right close to my house. I had a cigar. It was nice and warm yesterday, and I'm walking barefoot through the cemetery. Never done that before. I felt strangely at peace among the dead people. You know, sometimes I think death is better than life. And so I'm walking along these people, and I'm looking down on them and everything, and I don't feel superior to them at all. You know, I'm not like, look at me, I'm alive, I'm walking past. No, I don't think that way at all. In fact, I would tend to envy them, like their course is finished and all that. But this is what I did. I said a prayer to God. I said, God, look, I may be the only believer within miles of here. And I claimed those people. I wanted to be the one who judged those people at the great white throne. Because, look, chances are very few of them were ever believers. Christians, yes. Believers, no. So I wanted to, I loved all those people, and I didn't condemn them for being unbelievers. Who wouldn't be an unbeliever today? It's a freaking miracle if you believe today. A miracle. Because everything works against it. Everything. You're going against the tide of popular culture. You're going against the tide of religion. You're going against the tide of Satan. Hey, guess what? He's the god of the air. Guess what? Satan's the god of this eon. Ooh, I bet that's a hard life. So I wasn't superior to these dead people at all. Some of them were under the ground. Some of them were in drawers. In drawers. Some of them had built fancy marble sarcophagi for themselves. And I peeked in there and I saw their little shelves. And I thought, those people are in there. Uh-huh. I tried to picture what they look like with all their bones and maybe some of their sinews are left. I don't know. Maybe a tendon from their ankle. Probably their fillings and some osseous membranes. No, not membranes. No, it wouldn't be membranes. It would be more like the membranes would be gone and disintegrated. And then some people put lights on their graves outside so that at night the light shines. That's really pathetic. Don't do that for me. No. Listen, I decided yesterday, I'm going to get to my point, Frick. Don't worry. I decided yesterday that I wanted, if I died before the snatching away, I wanted my ex-brother-in-law Mike to make me a pine coffin. Pine. Just simple pine. Put me in there. No fancy silk covering or anything. I refuse to beautify death. Not me. Not going to do it. Give me pine. Throw me in there. Not place me in there. And then I want to be barefoot. I want to be in jeans and a shirt. I told my sister this yesterday. And I want to be buried in that cemetery. Because if people want to come see me, I want them to be warm. I want them to have a chance of being warm. And I want them to see palm trees. So anyway. Oh, and then one grave had a little whirligig around it. You know those little things like you get as a kid and you hold a stick and it's got this little plastic airfoil on there and it goes and it spins around. It was the most pathetic, sad thing I've ever seen. Somebody stuck that next to their loved one's grave so it spun in the wind. And it was colorful and it was just like, hey, people, you glorifying death? Is that what you're doing? You get problems. You get problems. So I prayed to God that I would be the one judging these people at the great white throne. Look, I'm going to have the mind of Christ then. We talked about this a few weeks ago. Don't freak out on me. I don't think like I'm all that. I just know that we're going to judge angels, Paul says. Don't you know that you're going to judge angels? Paul says this in a place where he's chiding the Corinthians. I think it's 2 Corinthians 6. Maybe it's 1 Corinthians 6. Check it out for yourself. Chides the Corinthians for hiring lawyers who are unbelievers to settle their little earthly disputes. When he says, is there not a wise man among you who can judge among yourselves? Because you're going to judge angels, you morons. So can't you judge among yourselves? So the Corinthians, you know. So it's no big deal. I told you, we're going to have the mind of Christ. And at the great white throne, all the dead, the small and the great, will rise to be judged. And to see if their books are written in, their names are written in the book of life. And I'm going to be the best judge you'd ever want because I'm going to have mercy on my enemies. No matter what you did to me in this life, I can't wait to be reconciled to you and to embrace you and to hug you and to just, everything's going to be great. I want to do that for all these people that live near me under the ground. They live under the ground and in the shelves, but they're still my people. Because they're Floridians, and I'm now a Floridian, so I feel a kinship even with the dead. So, no, not superior, and I'm walking barefoot, smoking my cigar. I don't feel I was defiling the place at all. In fact, I don't know, I was concerned that maybe an official would come up to me and says, how dare you defile this cemetery by smoking a cigar and walking barefoot? And I was going to say, I was going to point to a random tomb and say, but Uncle Henry here, I told him before he passed that I would honor his memory by smoking a cigar in his presence because he and I used to share many cigars together. You know, I would have brought the official to tears and he would have given me the green light for the cigar smoking enterprise. But that didn't happen. I was prepared for it though. So I wanted all these people. So my point is that I want my enemies to have it good after they get judged. Yes, there's going to be weeping and gnashing of teeth. It's all necessary. As I said, Joseph tortured his brothers for a few months before he embraced them and revealed himself to them. But listen to this. This is what set me off this morning. Chapter 19 of The Unveiling. Hey, I'm going to try to get through this in 2 days. You know what? I'm moving on to chapter 20. I can't stand this stuff. Really, it's irritating. This is not my gospel. It's not your gospel. But we're dedicated to go through the book of the unveiling, aren't we? Yes, I set myself to this task over 2 years ago, and I'm going to do it because I'm consistent. It's true that Ralph Waldo Emerson said that foolish consistency is the hobgoblin of small minds, but my mind is not small. I am not foolish. I am doing it because I am dedicated to the Word of God, and we're living in these days. Chapter 19, verse 1. After these things, I hear, as it were, a loud voice of a vast throng in heaven, saying, Hallelujah! A great be Yah. Praise be Yah. That's what Hallelujah means. Praise be Yah. And it's only said when there's great judgment flying around with monkey wings. When you see monkey wings flying around and a bunch of growling, snarling, then you know vengeance is about to be wreaked on God's enemies. I will be nowhere in the vicinity, okay? The death angel will be there, the monkey in charge of destruction and death, and I won't be there. I'll be closing my eyes and say, wake me up when it's over. Because we'll already be in heaven at this time. And I suppose then I'll have the mind of Christ and I'll be able to look down on it and say, yeah, that's fine. I'm good with that. Yes, destroy them. Destroy them now. Because I'll be able to look through it with the world famous through mentality and be able to handle it. But now, salvation and glory and power is of our God, for true and just is his judging. I'm not denying that it is. And for he judges the great prostitute who corrupts the earth with her prostitution and avenges the blood of his slaves at her hand. And apparently these slaves, these Israelite people, are all just like, just can't wait to see their enemies avenged. I can understand a little bit of that, you know, but this just goes on. I mean, I told you, I've been honest with you, I understand a little bit of that. It's like, yeah, just let them know that they were all wrong and that I was right. You know, it's fine. You do it, not me. I'll watch and just get a little pinprick. Oh, yeah, you missed it, didn't you? All right, now come back to fellowship with God. But this goes on and on for an entire chapter. And a second time have they declared hallelujah. Of course, why not? Becomes a mantra here. And her smoke is ascending for the eons of the eons. This is interesting too. The smoke of the destruction of Babylon ascends for the eons of the eons. That's a long time, but it's a memorial that God does not mess around. Because it seems like he does mess around. This part I understand. It seems like God messes around. It seems like God is asleep at the switch right now. And then he's allowing all sorts of evil. Actually, he doesn't allow it. He causes it. And that he doesn't know what's happening. But he's far from asleep. He's been on it the whole time. Evil must come to fruition. It must grow and grow and grow. Like Jack's beanstalk until it reaches to the highest heaven and then God says, enough! Like in Job when he calls forth the waves of the ocean and says, you shall come this far and no further, for here shall your proud waves stop. And that's the same thing here. The proud waves of humanity are going to stop. There's a terminus for those MFers and it's here. And God does stop it. It's not out of control. And there's a great rejoicing when it finally happens. I get it. But for the eons of the eons, well, that's the wisdom of God. Apparently, I don't have full possession of the wisdom of God now because I'm freaking out over this chapter. And the 24 elders and the four animals fall and worship God. Well, good. At least they don't have to see it then. I will do that. I will fall and worship God. And I'll be just like, you're great. And I'll just like, you know, bow down and look at the floor. You're great. And just anything to keep the gore and the blood and the slaughtering. Because the blood is going to be in the Valley of Jehoshaphat. This is what this is describing. The dinner, the birds are going to feast on the corpses of the people, of the enemies of God who came up against Israel. And the blood's going to fill the valley. It's going to be a gore fest. And I don't like those kinds of movies. So I'll just be bowing down to God. You're great. You're great. You're great. But I'm not going to be doing this anyway. These are the four animals and the 24 elders. Actually, the members of the body of Christ are above the 24 elders and above the four animals. We talked about the four animals back in the bunker in Brazil. We're above them. We have greater revelation than them, as great as they are. As I told you, the 24 elders are probably heads of the 24 sectors in the celestial realm. I talked before about ruling in Sector 62. Well, there are only 24 sectors, but I do not doubt that some of these sectors are divided into sub-sectors, subdivisions of the sectors. And so there will be divisions of the divisions, and that we will be above these 24 elders, above them. Why? They never came here and suffered like we do and tasted mortality, tasted death, seen blood, even knew about these horror movies. So we are going to rise above them, which is great. But I don't want anything to do with this blood. I'll tell you this. So I seem to have left off there around verse 4 and 5. So I'll try to calm down a little bit, and I'll pick up here tomorrow. I have no idea what I'm going to call this show. It's an outrage. Maybe I'll call it that. It's an outrage. I think people will click on it because I wonder, what the heck's that about? It's an outrage. I'll click on it just because I wonder what the outrage is. You be at peace. This is why some people didn't want me to do this book. You're going to lose your peace, Martin Zender. Oh, yeah, well, you're right. Okay, I'll admit it. I'm right, but I'm going to get it back quick. I'm going to bust through this chapter and move on into the glories and not the gore of God.